24 hostages today, 13 Israelis among them, but some Americans are still being held, says CBS's Ian Lee in London.
The youngest American, Abigail Mouridan, is not among the first group. She turns 4 today. Her family told CBS they're hopeful she'll be released soon.
Israeli and American officials expect more hostages will be released in the coming days during the 4-day ceasefire. CBS's Robert Berger in Jerusalem says the released hostages are now in Israeli hospitals.
They're going to get help from psychologists and social workers, because obviously they've been through a terrible ordeal.
President Biden said today that aid will enter Gaza during the ceasefire.
This extended pause in the fighting brings a critical opportunity to deliver much-needed food, medicine, water, and fuel to the civilians in Gaza, and we are not wasting one single minute.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Authorities in Marinette are reopening a 37-year-old cold case. The sheriff's department is asking for any new leads in the murder of David Hunter. Investigators say he was killed at a makeshift camp in the woods near Niagara in 1987. The sheriff's office is not saying why it's reopening the case now. Disability-related complaints with the Federal Department of Transportation are on the rise this year. Kendra Davenport of Easter Seals says airlines can't keep putting off becoming more accessible.
The baby boomers are aging rapidly. More and more of us will be disabled. This is no longer an issue that's pushed off to the corner of the desk. This is front and center.
Advocates want Congress to legislate improvements by 2026. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Barr. There's a little more than 31 days between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and Black Friday is the official start to the holiday shopping season. The National Retail Federation is predicting most of you will spend an average $800 on gifts, decorations, and more, which is up $50 from last year. Retail experts also say many shoppers are looking for the best deals and are planning to compare prices between Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, and Cyber Monday, trying to wrap up gift buying early in the season. It's actually not something new. The organizers of the Macy's Parade considered their event the start to the holiday season, and in the early years called it the Macy's Christmas Parade to encourage shopping right after it. One more seasonal tie-in, the song called One Horse Open Sleigh, was meant for Thanksgiving. It instead became so popular during holiday shopping, it had to be renamed Jingle Bells. For the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Terry Barr.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
The Packers beat the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers with a 29-22 win over the Lions. Detroit now 0-7 at home here on Thanksgiving Day. The game starting off with a deep pass from Jordan Love to Christian Watson for 53 yards, setting up the Packers' first touchdown.
Something we put in this week that, you know, we thought was going to work, and we were confident in it, and came out, you know, obviously put the ball up there, and Christian went up there and made a great catch.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said he almost canceled that play.
It was one of those deals. Matter of fact, I almost changed that first play call. I was kind of mulling it over quite a bit, and I texted Jordan this morning and told him I was going to change it to something else, and he said he wanted this call, so I said okay.
I asked Watson if he knew that play was almost canceled. Instead, he says he has to take the pressure off his quarterback.
So, you know, when stuff, you know, isn't going our way as a team and it's all getting thrown on Jordan, you know, I'm trying to, you know, find ways to, you know, take that off of him.
With sports from Ford Field in Detroit, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 30 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, 19. Tomorrow, cloudy, 32 with a little light snow possible Saturday night. Into Sunday morning, Sunday will be breezy with a high of 33. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition, a happier, happy hour, and nothing but you bitching. Your grievances this entire hour, and a few of ours, maybe. We might throw a few in them. But just so the people have the number, you know, for those hopping in the car, done with work, you survived. We're not quite there
well
yet.
Done.
But we'll
Good
join
job,
you soon.
Everybody.
844-967-2789. Air your grievances here. But, Dom, I thought we might start this hour by helping to distill why it is the Democratic Party makes it so damn difficult to win elections. There's an article over at Politico. Their prophecy of an enduring Democratic rule fell apart. They blame college grads. It's the college kids' fault that the Democrats could lose, Dom. So that's
what?
The premise. Yeah, just...
I don't know. What?
Here is the subheadline at the Politico. Can Democrats overcome their college campus branding and reclaim the working class? Because this will be bemoaning the fact that the Democratic Party is losing labor, losing the blue collar. Could the future of our republic really be riding on the fact that so many people think elite college students are totally, totally annoying? Outrageous over student activists excusing Hamas have driven the news since the attacks on Israel. But the author here, Michael Schaefer, senior editor at the Politico, writes, but I found myself thinking about more prosaic 21st century campus headlines about safe spaces or heckled speakers or other Fox News staples while reading an advanced copy of a big book about a less deadly crisis, the travails of the Democratic Party. The book, Where Have All the Democrats Gone, comes from a somewhat surprising pair of writers, John Judas and Roy Texacara, I hope I got that right. Yes, that's the same duo that became Beltway famous 20 years ago for predicting a new era of Democratic triumph based in large part on the party's dominance among the college students. You know, the college kids, Dom. Once upon a time, Judas and Texacara's, the emerging Democratic majority, was hailed as having foreseen the rising minority in college grad demographic combo that powered Barack Obama's win. But the political realignment that the Democratic Beltway insiders simplistically took as a matter of faith never happened. And now the pair are back with a book grappling with what went wrong. It's a nuanced argument, but here's the short version. The progressive, college-educated culture embodied by one element of that coalition is driving away everybody else. It's an answer, I think, that says as much about the specific makeup of the Washington political pros as it does about the broad demographic trends that undergirded the initial rosy predictions. What happened? Question mark. In Judas and Texarkera's account, the 21st Century Party underdelivered on populist economics for working class voters. Now, Dom, I have echoed that sentiment for a while, and that in part is why Bernie Sanders was so appealing to me. Even though I found him to be quite progressive, this democratic socialist, I never heard of that. So many of the ideas he put forth initially seemed like, wow, that's so far out there. Until they were put under scrutiny and you realize, damn, that's pretty good. What's the cost on that? Oh, that's relatively cheap compared to most of our national expenditures on, let's say, warfare. But I read on. Again, back to the author talking about what happened. Where'd all the Democrats go? But at the same time, it over-indexed for the cultural style that has jumped from campuses into the sort of professions where expensively degreed folks predominate. Folks like you, Dom, you know, radio journalists, yeah. Stuff like that, including the constellation of Washington organizations, businesses, and advocacy groups that help define a party's public image. The result, they say, is a party increasingly identified with the professional class and increasingly shunned by blue-collar voters it used to represent. Most ominously, in the past couple of election cycles, Democratic margins have softened amongst black and brown blue-collar voters, too. And here's one statement, Dom, and then I'd like to get your opinion. Because the labor movement is so weak now, and the working-class influences in the Democratic Party are so weak now, and because the base of the Democratic Party is in literal numerical terms more steered towards white, college-educated, and politically liberal people, it's just basically the campus culture has become the party as a whole, according to Texarkera. And that obviously is not a great way to attract working-class voters, and surprise, surprise, it hasn't been good for it. So if I understand the argument being made by these authors and the author of this piece at Politico, it's the damn college kids looking for their safe spaces and these different sort of liberal agendas that have sort of become the Democratic Party agenda. But it's off-putting to the, working class, blue collar, especially whites here in the upper Midwest, that used to be the base of the Democratic Party. So, Dom, I ask you,
come on.
Why is it the next generation's fault? These kids,
these kids these days, man. Kids today. Kids today. These millennials, I don't even know what generation we're on. Those young kids. I don't know if I agree with the premise. I don't know that a quote-unquote blue-collar working-class person on the farm or in the factory is really diving into safe spaces on college. Argument with the righties that are on college. I just don't know that that'd be the case. I think, you know, just anecdotally, folks that I've run into over the last, you know, 10, 12 years, 13 years doing this show with you, I don't know, most seem like working people to me, man. You know, you got to get up and go do a job. If you got to get up, punch a clock or whatever the case is, go do your job and get home. Those are working folks, man. Now, certainly they're, you know, farming is hard. Some manufacturing stuff is hard. Some of that labor work is certainly very difficult. And short time frames in which people can, you know, work in those industries and make that money before, you know, bodies break down and or the industry passes and technology passes them by. So I don't know that I would think that what goes on a college campus between, you know, 19 and 20 year olds is really going to impact a laborer, you know, working, you know, second shift, you know, in their 30s and 40s. I just don't know that that's a relatable experience or has any influence on that laborer's quote unquote voting.
Well, okay, then why aren't they voting with the Democrats? If it's not having any impact, if it's not off-putting to this electorate,
I would say because Democrats have traditionally underperformed because we have the corporate Dems that you
not traditionally
about the populism and the populism, man. But I would also say that, as we talked about it with our pal the other day, Joe Biden walked the picket line, man. I mean, we have
talking about Rick Smith, our pal from Smith, talk yes. radio.
Joe Biden walked the picket line. No president's done that, right? We have the labor in strikes in Detroit, very successful. Organized labor, as far as I look at this, has been becoming more popular over the last 10 years, not less. So I don't know. And generally, and certainly not to say that all labor folks are going to go vote for Joe Biden. I think Bernie Sanders has a good populist message. I thought, $15 minimum wages, for example, Medicare for all. I think these are things that a lot of working people, call it anybody working, making less than $200,000 a year, would be down for, man. I mean, the cost of healthcare is through the roof. We get fleeced and pilfered every time we turn around, man. So I don't know that I buy the premise. I think the message has to be there, and certainly performances has to be there. Because I don't know how the working, everyday average working people are going to look at what the Republicans are doing right now in Congress, or what Donald Trump has been proposing is going to make their lives better. I mean, other than giving justification to hate the right people that they hate, I don't know what that message is. It's certainly not fiscal responsibility. Donald Trump had more debt to this country than any president ever. It's certainly not family values. I mean, come on, check the box, look down the list. So whatever traditional messaging or whatever people traditionally bought from the Republican Party is not, I don't think, is going to sell to the mega party. I just don't see that, man.
Well, first and foremost, I think you make a false assumption, and perhaps there is a revitalization of the union movement since the pandemic, but the unions have been on a terrible decline, since, like the 1970s now. Graphics show me that union households in 1983 were 20%, one in all five households. Now it's 10% in 2022. And that's a plateau number. That is better than the trajectory that unions have been on. And certainly here in the state of Wisconsin, Dom, we've seen Scott Walker decimate the unions. First, it was the public sector. Then it was Right to Work, right? I mean, talked just the other day about the nurses and the crisis they have at University of Wisconsin Hospital because they can't unionize. They have no collective bargaining power over their own workforce. Well, it's having decimating effects, certainly in our backyard. I think the loss of manufacturing work has certainly decimated many towns across the upper Midwest, the Rust Belt, right? But I don't see what it is. And the greater argument being made here, I think, by this columnist at the Politico is, but what argument are the Democrats making? Maybe Joe Biden walked on the picket line, but that's the first time it's ever happened, Don. And for a long time, we have seen the Democratic Party bleeding union labor and bleeding working class. And what do we hear? We hear guys like Ted Cruz and Donald Trump claiming the Republican Party is the party of the workers. And you can say, well, people are smarter than that. But are they? Are they? What pain has the Republican Party in the state of Wisconsin felt for decimating the unions here in the state of Wisconsin? What retribution has been served upon them? Zero. Zip. None. If anything, they made themselves more electable by getting rid of the foot soldiers of the Democratic Party. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Your Friday grievances, they're aired here if you call 844-967-2789.
The Tap. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocate.
You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of the Devil's Advocates radio show.
And we're back to you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friday, airing the grievances, 844-967-2789.
Dom, lots of chastisement coming from the text line. People say, Grudy, don't blame the progressives. Well, I'd like to think I'm pretty damn progressive. The question is, how do you define progressive? What are the issues of your progressivism, I guess?
Well, the question is, these authors that blame college Dems for
it's not the
whatever
college Dems,
the Democrats today? Well, I'm not sure, though. Tell me.
It is the notion. It's identity politics, Dom. Read a little beyond what's written on the page. Infer. It's identity politics that they're bemoaning. It's the fact that the Democratic Party, if you check a box, you're welcome here. You fit in our tent. But if you're just a white working class stiff that goes down to the factory every day and you don't check their box, they don't necessarily have a place for you. Or at least it is my strong impression, and I think the impression of the authors, that is the problem. The Democratic Party has become the most liberal, at least in public-facing arguments, and that allows the Fox News to take social wedge issues and beat us over the head with it. When really, if the Democrats were out there talking about keeping the government open and keeping people in child care, in health care, in issues.
I mean, I think they're saying those things, man.
Who is saying those things where? Where am I hearing those messages from the current Democratic Party?
Go to any Democratic
person. I listen close.
All right. Are you seeing the Twitter feeds? I mean, I don't know how you get your information, Crudy. You want people like coming down to you on your doorstep telling you this is what they think? I mean, the politicians put these things out all the time, dude. All the time.
Really? Because I'm in the talk radio politics business and I don't hear that message overwhelming me.
Chuck Schumer's Twitter feed.
What? I got to get on Chuck Schumer's Twitter feed to find out
what
the Democrats stand for.
What do you want?
I want every Democrat. I'll answer the question.
How do you want it delivered to you, man? This is for real, man. Come on.
Not through interruption and yelling at me. I would like to have an opportunity to say, you want to deliver it? Do so consistently. Go out there on the bully pulpit. We got a governor. He could be on the air each and every day talking about economic kitchen table issues to the state of Wisconsin. He could be bragging about the bounce back grants that he was masterful in his economic development for small business in the state of Wisconsin. We could hear about the positive things happening in the state, but I don't. All I hear is battles over DEI on campus, and we can't fund the universities. We're sitting on a $7 million surplus, but somehow Republicans have made this the issue du jour because we let them, because we're not talking about issues that affect most Wisconsinites. Yeah, is DEI important to the college kids? Yeah, absolutely should be. Is diversity important in this life? Yes. But is it how you lead your campaign? I think when the Democratic Party does, they do so at the expense of white and blue-collar, white working class and blue-collar voters. And I think that's played out in the small margins in the fact that Donald Trump was able to overturn the blue wall that Wisconsin used to be. And it could happen again very quickly, very readily.
And he said, if you elect me, this plant will never leave. And the plant leaves. I mean, the guy's got a record. And I think you, unfortunately, Crudy, I think you bring a grievance to this discussion. So Evers isn't on the radio doing it how you want him to do it every day.
He's not the only leader of the party.
All right, now you're going to talk about interrupting me, dude? So he's not doing it the way that you want him to do it, and somehow that is a reflection upon how Democrats in colleges are affecting the lack of, what, blue-collar folks supporting the Dems. I don't see the throughput there, Crudy. And if you look at what the Republicans have said and what they have done and how they've delivered, if you want to look at the facts, I would say that objectively, anybody in those positions, and if you're to classify people in a work environment, to see what the Republicans have done for them or what the Democratic Party has done for them and put it out and do your SWOT analysis, dude. There's no way that you're going to say, well, I'm going Republican.
But yet it happens. It happened in the midterms. It happens in every freaking elective cycle. We come down to a coin flip in the state of Wisconsin. We're going to do so again next year, probably. Because it's always, yeah,
and it's
always
DEI
about the economy
on the college campus. When you bring that kind of stuff up, you're agreeing with the Republicans' culture war BS, man. That's not the issue. There's greater issues. How about you know the racism which is behind their anti-DEI, man? You want
to
talk?
I failed to bring those things up?
Are very specific. Those are the problems. But you're talking about it in terms of how the Republicans are shoveling it to
no,
you.
No, I'm talking about it in terms of how the Democratic Party is embracing identity politics at the expense of a broad tent where everyone feels included, including the working class, and they have not felt included by this Democratic Party, and we see the results in electoral outcomes. Let's hear from others. 844-967-2789. Chris from Rice Lake, a new name. Welcome, Chris. You're at the top of the list.
Hi, Chris.
Hello?
Yeah, Chris. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
Yeah, you know, I don't really have a grievance, but I just want to add to your conversation a little bit. You know, the Republican Party has been browbeating the working class people and splitting the Democratic Party in half. It's the East and the West Coast Democrats against the working Democrats in the Midwest. And when there was a vacuum that was created, the Republicans swooped in and they scooped up all the working people saying, you know what, we're here for you. We believe in, you know, we want you to believe that we are your, you know, we're here for you. Don't worry about the East Coast. Don't worry about the West Coast. All them rich people care about is themselves and, you know, their agendas. They don't care about you. And that's the problem with the Democratic Party. It doesn't matter what they say about, oh, you know what, we're doing this for the economy and we're doing that for the economy. They don't care. They don't care about that anymore. They care about these working people care about their economy. They don't care about DEI. They don't care about LGBTQ. They care about them. And the only ones that are addressing what they care about are the Republicans. And I'm sorry to say, I'm a huge Democrat, but that's the truth. You know, it started before Scott Walker. It started before the popcorn guy. I mean, this has been going on for years and years and years. And now it's going to be so hard to get the Democrats back in line. I mean, that's why we had all these screwy elections. It really is.
I think you're speaking truth, Chris. Your truth, certainly. I think it is a truth. And I think the kitchen table issues, how's my family doing? That affects people. It affects them in Rice Lake, I suspect. Where are you listening to us today, Chris, if I may ask? How are you listening to us?
Online. Your app, I should say.
Well, you know, we got some fine radio stations in your neck of the woods. We're trying to have conversations with your part of the state. Thanks for joining ours today. Your grievances, they're welcome here. We're the devil's advocates. And sometimes we argue. Doesn't mean we don't love each other. Just
love
means
you, man.
Dom's often wrong, and sometimes I got to argue with him. But come back. You know, you can take and make your case right here on the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That's how we do it. Little bitching, some grievances. Friday, it's a happier, happy hour. We're rolling through it. Your phone calls are next. 844-967-2789.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Racine County leaders say they're pleased with the deal to sell about 2 square miles of Mount Pleasant's Wisconsin Innovation Park to Microsoft. They tell the Journal Sentinel it will put the business park built for Foxconn on firm financial footing. Microsoft is buying $100 million in land. It would pay enough taxes over the years to cover the cost of the tax district's debt. A Reedsburg man wanted for the death of his pregnant girlfriend is arrested in Missouri. Authorities say they caught Jose Dominguez Garcia in a vehicle with stolen plates early yesterday morning. He'd been on the run since about the same time Rosalie Rodriguez's body was found in a suitcase near Eau Claire in 2020. Dominguez Garcia is charged with first-degree murder, murder of an unborn child, and hiding a corpse. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Barr. A new survey is revealing some interesting things about the food you may be sharing this Thanksgiving holiday weekend, including the calories you may consume. A new Harris poll showing the majority of Americans say there's almost turkey, cranberries, and pumpkin pie as a guarantee. But the survey also reveals 65% of those responding don't even like some of these holiday dishes, yet eat it because of the tradition. The poll also indicates a surprising number of people say they actually prefer eating the leftovers during the weekend rather than the actual holiday meal. One result, which may not be surprising, the average number of calories consumed during your holiday dinner. It's around 4,500, about twice the calories suggested by health experts on any other day. For the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Terry Barr.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Packers beat the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers with a 29-22 win over the Lions. Detroit now 0-7 at home here on Thanksgiving Day. The game starting off with a deep pass from Jordan Love to Christian Watson for 53 yards, setting up the Packers' first touchdown.
Something we put in this week that, you know, we thought was going to work, and we were confident in it, and came out, you know, obviously put the ball up there, and Christian went up there and made a great catch.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said he almost canceled that play.
It was one of those deals. Matter of fact, I almost changed that first play call. I was kind of mulling it over quite a bit, and I texted Jordan this morning and told him I was going to change it to something else, and he said he wanted this call, so I said okay.
I asked Watson if he knew that play was almost canceled. Instead, he says he has to take the pressure off his quarterback.
So, you know, when stuff, you know, isn't going our way as a team and it's all getting thrown on Jordan, you know, I'm trying to, you know, find ways to, you know, take that off of him.
With sports from Ford Field in Detroit, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, a couple of flurries around, and a low close to 20. And still a flurry or two possible tomorrow, more clouds, and a high in the low 30s. Staying in the low 30s on Sunday, breezy, gusts above 30 miles an hour, and a few flurries around. Currently it's 26.
Timeout.
Oh, right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
The Devil's Advocates may not agree on much, but funny is funny.
You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of The Devil's Advocates radio show.
Welcome back to The Devil's Advocates radio show, the Friday edition, airing of the grievances and the happier happy hour. We always encourage your participation. And I got a few people fired up. They disagree with me, although some, there are a smattering disagreeing with you as well, Dom. the argument made by a political columnist and a couple of authors he interviewed. The prophecy of enduring Democratic rule fell apart. They blame college grads. And what they are saying is effectively the Democratic Party has become a party of identity grievance, or at least that's how they're being campaigned against. And it's with some effect because they've lost the working class voter. Now, there are some that disagree with you, Dom. There are a lot that disagree with me, but I'm going to start with one that disagrees with you. Yes, blame them. Ha, ha, ha. And Dom, you are the exact problem. Why the Dems are not taking off as much as they should. It's thinking like yeah. yours.
Boy, yeah.
And then there are many well, that say.
I mean, come on. I mean, more detail than that, man. Thinking like mine. Well, what thinking?
That this is all about all these ancillary issues, not the economy. White working
class. I mean, it's the economy stupid has been a for a long time. I mean, come on. Real quick, from the political, and you get back to your, I just want to throw this out there because I didn't know, but now I know. I want to share it with you. The writers in this political piece, bred in the old left that venerated labor unions and the New Deal, have some personal experience with a disconnect they refer to. A longtime staple of the Liberal Center for American Progress, TX era, 71 years old, left last year to take a perch at the American Enterprise Institute, a bastion of pro-market conservatism. It's an odd place for someone with a social democratic take on the economy, but a move he said he made because he couldn't stand the cultural climate of liberal think tanks. Judas, 82, the author's colleague a decade ago at the New Republic, has written extensively on nationalism in recent years, arguing it's an essential component in winning support for progressive economic schemes. Quote, I had professors telling me they would assign it to their class and the kids wouldn't read it because they identify it with Trump, unquote. Those are the authors. So maybe lefties now older, leaning little righties is kind of my takeaway from that. So again, is there more that could be done? Of course there is, man. And I've voted for Republicans. I voted for libertarians. And I, more recently, I voted for the Democrats because I'm anti-fascist more than anything. You know what I mean? And what I've seen from the Republican Party and the libertarians, at least some of their Twitter feeds of late, are not very pro-democratic to me.
No,
so that's where I'm at, man.
They'd sell your democracy down the river for a tax cut. And a lot of people only care about their own families. We've talked about this. If it doesn't affect them, it doesn't affect them, right? But if the Republican Party says, we're for you, you working class Joes and Janets, you Joe Sixpacks, we're your party. And the Democrats seemingly don't, guess what? If I claim I'm the pro-weed candidate, then I become the pro-weed candidate because I say I am. The Republicans literally, by just saying, we're for you. We're for you, working people. They have made huge inroads in the working class, not because they've earned it, not through policy. Rational thought does not factor in here. I totally agree with you, Dom, but it still has effect. I don't want to pre-debate her, but here's a friend of ours, Chris from Sun Prairie. It's been too long. I think I know where you're going. I see you trashing me on text line. Chris, welcome back to the show. What do you got for us?
Hi, Chris.
Hi. Well, I don't know that I really agree on either end of that. I just think this is kind of the latest thing to blame. I think that if the party has anybody to blame, maybe it's themselves. Because, you know, we had Build Back Better. I mean, I supported Biden even after I was a Bernie delegate and a Bernie supporter for the second time around. But I supported Biden, and I think I've liked a lot of what Joe Biden has done. And I was very happy when I saw the student loan forgiveness. I was very happy when I looked at Build Back Better. I was very disappointed when the student loan forgiveness was pulled back. And then also when none of the real progressive part of Build Back Better went through. You know, I was really disappointed in that. So none of the real progressive policies have actually made it through. So that's, you know, if anybody's talking about anything progressive, you know, look at the stuff that was left on the floor, and that's where the progressive stuff is. So I'm real disappointed in that part. But I still support President Biden, except for, like, Right now, I'm having a very difficult time with Gaza and Israel. I do understand, and I have a lot of Jewish friends, and I really feel for what happened to the Jewish people. I do believe they have a right to defend themselves, but defending yourself and going in and just carpet bombing people are very different things. And I really feel for the people as well in Gaza. So I really have a problem. I think the president needs to broker a peace if he can, and we need to help those people. But back to the Democratic Party, my concern is people won't show up to vote. That's my concern. It's not that they're, people just might not. And not just for Biden. I worry about Tammy Baldwin because of the F-35s. I think that some people are tone deaf when it comes to their base supporters. And I do think that, you know, there are people that are their base supporters that are being ignored and not listened to.
Chris, you were a Bernie Sanders supporter, as you've acknowledged. And
yes,
as I recall, the vast majority of Bernie's agenda was economic populism. It was, you know, forgive student loan debt, make 2-year or 4-year college free, state schools, Medicare for all. And we can argue around the fringes about how we accomplish these things and whether or not they're affordable. And I think many of them could be, as we actually scrutinize the policy positions of Bernie Sanders. But it was all about kitchen table issues. It was all about the economy, stupid. And I found that very refreshing. These were the things that affected so many of the different people I talk to each and every day. Everybody's affected by the economy. And Chris, my fear is if the economy takes a little turn for the South, I mean, we got interest rates that are going to make buying houses very, very difficult. People are going to get stuck in their houses for a while because interest rates are cresting at 7 and 8%, and they used to be 2%. Well, cheap money policy is over, Chris, but here's
That's not a Democratic Party issue, man. That's the Fed.
It's a Democratic Party issue when we get stuck with the recession and Joe Biden's got the headwinds going into an election year. That's my fear.
I mean, that's what the Fed is trying to do is slow the economy down, man. The Fed wants unemployment to go up. That's how this math works.
Chris, please do.
Can I just say something? Yeah, well, you know, if the economy gets bad, there are people that the economy has never gotten better for. They're the people that are homeless right now. They're the people that can't feed their children. They're the people that have been through 3, 4, 5 layoffs that never got over it. They're still carrying bills. You know, the economy didn't get better for a lot of people. So when people say no one's being hurt, they don't truly understand what's happening at the level of real working class people. A lot of people really took great losses. And the economy doesn't make up for those.
And how do you think we speak to those people? And I guess I'm saying as a Democratic Party, if I was running for president, if I was Joe Biden or I'm Tammy Baldwin, how should I speak to those people in your opinion, Chris?
In my opinion, they can ask us what they can do to help us. I lost my job in 2009. And I have things that I have an adult disabled daughter. There are needs. We need housing for people that are adults that are disabled that get Social Security checks that can then take care of their needs for a month. We have needs out here for people. I can take care of myself, but we have people that cannot. And we have needs out here. And this is what should be first on the table, not people that are getting their second, third, fourth houses and these companies that are making billions of dollars. And I have to say, it's really difficult to watch our senators and Congress members go into the Congress with net worths and come out billionaires or millionaires or, you know, they're just very, very wealthy. So I have to say, we got to get the money out of politics. And we need public servants back in. If you want to go make money in a big corporation, go do that. And let people that will regulate you do their job in Congress.
Sorry to cut you short, Chris. We got lots of people.
Regulation lost through there. No, just kidding, Chris. Thank you always for your insight, Chris. I love hearing from you. Sister.
As much as I respect Chris, here's another voice I respect very much. Bill Dunn, my friend, says, please stop blaming the Democratic Party for things it has little control of. Blame the mainstream media, which doesn't pursue stories that aren't sexy, i.e. conflict-driven. The Republicans have also have a fallback position of distrust in government and hatred of taxes. According to Bill, the Dems should counteract that to the extent they can. And then he offers a great source here, he says, and I believe him, governmentisgood.com. Governmentisgood.com.
Well, Thank you, Bill. You know, you get the government and you get. I mean, you know, yeah, Donald Trump was you know, the head of the executive branch. You know what? Was that good government? I would challenge that. You know, I mean, the elections do matter. The people do matter. And Chris, to talk about some of those folks you identified. And it, my concern is that with the headwinds and the challenges and everything that they have to deal with, are they able to get out and go and vote, to engage? I mean, it's almost a privilege. And it's a terrible thing to say. It's almost a privilege to be engaged to the degree that we're able to do so. I mean, if you're out there, you know, working two or three jobs, trying to, you know, pay the rent and do that, are you going to take time out to go and vote or even take time out to do a little research and read and know about the issues that may, who may or may not help the situation that you may be in, and your local government and your municipal and your state government? I just those are challenges that I think we need to overcome in some way.
Tom from Grafton, you're next. Welcome, Tom. What do you got for us?
Hey, Tom.
Hi. I at this point, I have to agree with Crudy. I think on this one, he's right. And I think, too, that the common person, especially the white person, which, what is it, about 80% in this state?
More than that. About 91%.
You know, responsible for everybody's problems. And I'm not in charge of people. I don't put, you know, people down and stuff like that. And a lot of my working people who I work with, you know, are not management and have nothing to say as to why people are in the spots they're in. But I would say that we're not we're looked down upon because we, I don't know, I think we're blamed falsely for a lot of the problems, as you know, in society. And we also see that the Democratic Party focuses on minorities, which is fine, and, you know, gays and stuff like that, and, you know, they need attention too. But it's, but you never hear the common person being uplifted, you know, the white person in particular. And, you know, you look at media and stuff like that, and you just, you know, most of the commercials, you know, on radio and TV and stuff like that, there's not many white people in them anymore, especially for white males. But I think it's important that the media, you know, like you are here now to tell the truth of what's actually happening. And I'm, I'm so glad you're on the air.
Well, Tom, appreciate you listening. I don't think it's, let's just keep moving. I've expressed many of my opinions. 844.
We got a lot of callers.
967-2789. Let's hear from Kelly from Madison next. Welcome, Kelly. What do you got for us?
All right, Kelly.
Hi, guys. Oh, Crudy, I think you are so on the money. And I would encourage.
Are you sure? Because I was doubting myself there for a minute.
No. In fact, just last night, if you haven't heard of the station Tubi, please go on there and watch the documentary Hillbilly. And it speaks to everything you are talking about. And it is a documentary from a gal who grew up in coal country, and it was done in 2016, and it tells exactly why Trump was elected. These were former Democrats, and they were all ignored. And he went in there and gave them hopes and dreams, and now they're all wearing the hat, and they think that he's the hero. And so we've got to appeal to these people. Everybody, there's little Appalachians all over this country, as it points out. We have them all over in Wisconsin.
Kelly, I know. I've driven all around the state, and we'd like to think we got radio signals touching most of the parts in a good way. You know, a good way. Hand check. More Devil's Advocates on the other side. Final segment for your grievances. 844-96-PARTY.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
The simple act of sharing gratitude is how Thanksgiving is described in the dictionary. But did you know the first official national holiday happened in 1789? It was declared by President George Washington following the creation of the new U.S. Constitution. Today, Thanksgiving means gratefulness for the harvest, your family, or a higher power. However you celebrate, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
The Todd Alba Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons, some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are, but we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 93.5, The Tap.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy Black Friday to us all. Spend a little time with our respective families, but we hope you're enjoying a little best of the greatest radio show ever. And not so long ago, we had a little conversation here about sort of the rural-urban divide that's happening in this state. And far too often, in Crudy's humble opinion, I do cite my sources, but my opinion, the white working class voter is overlooked or doesn't feel like they have a place in the Democratic Party. And that has somehow left this void that the Republicans are now filling. They're claiming we are the party of the working people. Well, I think the Democrats need to be considerate of their message. They need to make efforts to reach out to, you know, those that don't see things exactly like they do, those that don't check an identity politics box. And I think many of them are feeling disaffected. And we had this conversation on the air. We're going to share this with you. Once again, I know you probably spent some time with some people that disagree with your politics over this Thanksgiving holiday weekend. Well, we would like to think this was a considered conversation with our audience that day. And I think we had great, great callers. Perhaps you were one. Here it is. Some of the better conversation, the urban versus rural divide here in the state of Wisconsin. Happy Black Friday. I hope you're enjoying this best of the Devil's Advocates radio show.
The Devil's Advocates, rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now at 844-967-2789. Dick from Madison, Europe. Welcome, Dick. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dick.
Well, being that I'm one of the longer in the tooth listeners at 68 years old, I've seen this before, and I understand. Here's what it is. Way back when Reagan was elected, supposed Reagan Democrats. You guys don't remember that, I'm sure. You're too
Come on,
young.
Man. What, but, you think I'm 12 here? I remember.
Okay.
I was 10 when Reagan elected.
Here's where I'm going with that. I understand all of this about working class people and this, that, and the other thing. And you're deluged. You're busy just getting by day to day. And they depend on low information voters. And if the only information you're getting is from this present media, no wonder this is happening. I mean, come on. Things are.
Well, now it's the internet, Dick. You can get it mainlined right to your brain, dude.
Yeah, if you got a high-speed internet connection.
Most people don't do that. It's a proven fact. They just go about their daily life. Most people are not like you two or like – I've been a geek like this since the beginning of time as far as paying attention to politics, but most people don't. And so, you know, Reagan fooled everybody 43 years ago with trickle-down – And here you go again. I mean, it doesn't surprise me.
So what's the fix,
Dick?
What's the fix?
Well, the fix would be an electorate that paid a little more attention. I mean, the Democrats got to go out there and find a way of just nonstop, you know, what is it in advertising? Just keep beating the drum what we've done and what we're continuing to do, and just keep it up nonstop. Otherwise, I mean, look at right here in Madison, this road project on Atwood Avenue. A lot of that was federal money. Part of what, and nobody, the average person doesn't know.
Damn road construction.
Yeah, darn those orange barrels.
Orange barrel fatigue.
Dick, appreciate your call. We got lots of people holding. I want to keep moving down the list. 844-967-2789. I, again, will defer my opinion for now. Chris from Middleton, you're next. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
Hi, Chris.
Thank you. First time car, a little nervous here. But look, I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. And I liked how Bernie talked about, you know, economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. I think, in fact, we got to lean into the identity politics also and not be shy about it. You know, I think in Wisconsin, there's still a lot of racism in Wisconsin. And most people in Wisconsin, they would treat a person in front of them, black or white, just the same. But there's this concept that in their minds that the Democrats is going to give away their tax money to the black community. And I think unless we start engaging that and talking about that, we kind of have this void we can't fill. Trump, he didn't have any policies really for the working guy, but people voted for him because he promised to keep things white in America, keep the white man's role where it's been. And that in some ways appealed to people, reassured them the world wouldn't change. But the world needs to change. Unless we engage people directly about that, I don't know if we're ever going to get through this.
Chris, well said.
Oh, wow.
Thoughtful.
Great call, man. Appreciate it.
Let's sneak a few more in here. Terry from the Northwoods. What do you got for us, Terry?
Hey, Terry.
Hi, guys. Shout out to Dick. He nailed it again, as always. But here's what I got for you guys. Just happened to bump into this article today. Per capita income, every state. I'm just going to talk about Minnesota. They're at $63,640, I believe I saw. Wisconsin, let me find it here. Come on. $56,120.
About seven grand less per year. That's less 10%, more than 10% less than our neighbors across the river.
Right. And you know, Crudy, they trended blue in 2010, you know, with Mark Dayton and the legislature. What I don't have to say that we did. So that's what I got. So
we know, Terry. We know.
Alexandria, Minnesota is a place north of the cities. My in-laws used to live there for a period of time. And there was an article way back in 2012. I'll end with this thought today. I think it was called A Jagged Little Pill. They were talking about the fact as these rural areas became more dependent upon the government, they turned more red. And the citizens of those areas actually resented the government because they were unable to provide for their families in the way they always had. So these economic issues, they affect Minnesota. They affect Wisconsin. But I would point out the state of Minnesota incarcerates less than half as many people as the state of Wisconsin and invest less than half as much in imprisoning their citizens, because we got more criminals here, apparently. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Nick Ramos. Thank you, Al Robinson.
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over
and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Now that some of the hostages who'd been held by Hamas since October 7th have been released, they have a long recovery ahead, says President Biden.
All of these hostages have been through a terrible ordeal. And this is